We present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Barry Took, and Peter Cook in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello, and welcome to Just a Minute. And we are delighted to welcome back that new radio comedy duo of Cook and Took. Peter Cook, who did so well when he was with us a few weeks ago, and Barry Took, together, they've returned to do battle against our two regulars, Kenneth Williams and Clement Freud. They're going to try and speak, if they can, for just a minute on a subject I will give them, and do it without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And the first one is the Loch Ness Monster. And Clement Freud, we've decided you should start with that, and you have 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
The Loch Ness Monster is probably the most important aspect of Scottish tourism after haggis and the kilt, two things which I often mix up or am unable to tell apart. In Loch Ness, which is a huge inland watering hole in the southern part of Scotland...
Peter Cook has challenged.
Whose hole does this loch water? I don't know if it waters holes at all.
He said it's a water hole.
He said it was a watering hole.
Right.
Oh, no.
Where is it watering? In which hole is it watering? I've heard of it watering. It's been there for years,
yeah.
The loch.
A watering hole sounds like a spa, doesn't it? You'd hardly call Loch Ness a spa.
You don't get a monster in a spa unless Clement's down there.
I agree with your challenge, Peter, and you have 42 seconds on the subject of the Loch Ness Monster, starting now.
Far more important to the Scottish tourist industry than the Loch Ness Monster is, of course, the wife of the Loch Ness Monster, the strange flying lizard-like creature that hovers over Dundee of an evening, often seen by Scotsmen in their kilts, sucking down the wonderful liqueurs that come from the foggy moors that abound in that part of the world. They take their drink and say, "Och, nu, d'ye see up there, flying hay above us, 'tis the wife of the Loch Ness Monster, the wengly diggly diggly doodle bird," because they're all mad up in Scotland, yes. And I imagine.
Yes, that was beautiful, but I'm afraid you were challenged before you, in full flight and flood by Clement Freud, I'm afraid.
Repetition of wife.
You rotten player. 3 seconds to go, and our guest was in full flood, and in fact, he was in an alcoholic mist up in Scotland somewhere. But it was a correct challenge, so I have to give it to you, Clement, and you had 3 seconds on the Loch Ness Monster, starting now.
Miniature submarines have gone into the loch looking...
Well, Ian Messiter, who blows our whistle, tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever's speaking at that moment gets an extra point. It was, of course, Clement Freud. He's in the lead at the end of the first round. Kenneth Williams, will you take the next round? The subject is taking command. I'm sure it's something you can do admirably. Will you tell us something about it in just a minute, starting now?
There are certain figures in history who are obviously adept at taking command. One thinks immediately of someone like Alexander the Great, Wellington, and Bernadotte, who, as one of the most successful commanders in Napoleon's army, was then asked by the Swedes, "Would you come and be our king?" And he said, "I will, I'll come." And he did take command, not only of their country...
Peter Cook has challenged.
Two comes, come.
Yes, he said, "Will you come?" And he said, "Well, listen, Peter, and 39 seconds on taking command, starting now."
"The entire art of taking command, whether be it women or men, is to have in one's demeanour that strange gleam of authority which is respected by other people. When I am asked to take command, I do not do it lightly, for the responsibilities of being in command are enormous."
Barry Took is challenged.
"Well, repetition of command..."
That's on the card, and you can...
Oh, I'm sorry, but could I sit somewhere else?
Nice to hear from you, Barry, yes. Right.
I mean, he's so dominating when you're close to him.
I know. I mean, the visual example of taking command, which Peter Cook gave us there while he was talking about the subject, was quite incredible. And I'm afraid I disagree with the challenge, Barry. So Peter Cook gets a point for that, and he continues on taking command with 13 seconds left, starting now.
Yes, another few moments of that, and I'd have been bombing Dresden. Such is the power of command when it gets into my hands. When it is in...
Yes, such is the power of command in Peter Cook's hands that he can keep going on the subject until the whistle and gain that extra point, and he's taken a commanding lead at the end of the round. Peter Cook, will you begin the next round? The subject, other... well-known cooks.
Lots of well-known cooks from all over the world. There's Thomas Cook, who started off that wonderful travel firm on which I go. But possibly better known than him is Alistair Cook with his letters from America. He used to be in France before America, but he didn't bother to send the letters.
Clement Freud challenged.
Repetition of America.
Yes. Of what? I didn't hear, sorry.
Repetition.
Yes.
Of? America.
America, yes. I didn't hear you say the word America.
Oh,
I'm so sorry.
I thought you didn't hear of.
There are 40 seconds on other well-known cooks starting now.
I could talk for some time on other well-known cooks like Escoffier, but frankly, Peter Cook seems to me to be the... very essence of that name, by far the greatest exponent of cookery in this part of London, not to say in America, France, Spain, Italy, Switzerland, Sweden, Holland, Norway.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Deviation. He said not to say and then said them all.
Well done, Kenny. So you have a point and the subject, and there are 18 seconds. Other well-known cooks starting now.
One thinks, of course, of Mrs. Beaton. She was always at it, doing the old egg whites and bashing away at the batter. Never stopped, and what an industrious woman she turned out to be, and gave her name to one of the most famous books on the subject. Not only...
Peter Cook has challenged.
Repetition of the word book.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
it's not true,
there.
But I had to think of something. Yeah.
Well done, Peter. 3 seconds on other well-known cooks starting now.
They do not spoil the broth, much as...
So Peter Cook did have the subject once again as the whistle went and got that extra point, has increased his lead, and Clement Freud's in second place. Barry Took, will you take the next round, the subject, Spanish dancing? Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now? And Kenneth Williams has challenged.
There's hesitation, I'm afraid.
Yes, well, I, as he's also a guest...
Are you rewriting the rules of the game or something? Who do you think you are? You're supposed to be the chairman.
Yes.
Not the deviser.
No, I'm not devising and I'm not rewriting. I'm interpreting the rules.
Oh.
And I've decided that he hadn't got underway. He's also a guest. I'm not going to count it. And he has a point for a wrong challenge. And he continues with 58 and one half seconds on Spanish dancing. Well, he hasn't started yet, but he'll start, I hope, soon, sometime, on Spanish dancing, starting now.
Tap, 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 tap. Tap, 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 tap.
Clement Freud has challenged you.
What on earth for?
Too many taps!
Mr. Chairman, I was just getting into my flow.
I know, but it was a very repetitious flow.
Well...
You only said one word.
How can you describe Spanish dancing without going... tap, 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 tap.
Well, you can say a lot of taps, a frequency of taps, continuous tapping.
Right.
Yes.
I'll do that then.
The next one. Clement, you have the subject
of
Spanish dancing.
I don't have the chance. Is that, I'm awfully sorry. Don't I have the chance?
No. I've given you one chance. I can't give you too many. Otherwise, I would get too many letters.
Yes, and, I do
I have to answer
that.
Some of them, too.
I do see that.
There are 56 seconds on the Spanish dancing, Clement, starting now.
Click, clack, clock, clock, clack.
Kenneth Williams.
Oh, this is just the same thing. There.
No, it isn't. They were all click, clock, clock, clack. They were all different.
No, the CK occurred in every word.
Oh. But as you know, it's not the written word, it is the pronunciation.
Well, you're always altering the rules as you go along, so start
now. No, I've tried to establish, I try to interpret them, loose as they are. And here, Mr. has thought up some pretty loose rules in this game, and you play it rather loosely sometimes. Clement, wrong challenge, 55 seconds, Spanish dancing, starting now.
One of the most interesting aspects of Spanish dancing takes place annually in Pamplona, when the bulls are run down the street and the Spaniards dance in front of them, occasionally getting gored for good measure. Ernest Hemingway.
Peter Cook has challenged.
Are they not gored for good measure? Do... do the bulls come up and gore them for good measure? Excuse me, signori, voglio gori. No, it doesn't happen. I've been to Pamplona.
No, yeah.
It's all rubbish.
Have you danced in front of the bulls?
No, I've not danced in front of the bulls. I allow them to get on with their dancing first. And when they're exhausted, I do mine.
Yes. Well, before you're exhausted in just a minute, let's hear from you on the subject of Spanish dancing, Peter Cook, and 41 seconds left, starting now.
Spanish dancing was invented many years ago by an old senor in Pamplona itself. Before he invented that wonderful movement...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of invented.
Yes, he was inventing too much. Clement, 30 seconds are left for Spanish dancing, starting now.
One of the great Spanish dancers was a man called Antonio, who performed all over London in the 1950s and even in the beginning of the 1960s. And I often went to see him at a theatre in Shaftesbury Avenue, where he perspired from the stage into the auditorium to the enormous delight of many thousands of people who had stood in line, queued up, sometimes for as long as 24 hours in order to purchase tickets for this.
Peter Cook.
Well, it's absolute rubbish again, isn't it? I mean, can you imagine thousands of people queuing up in the wind and rain to get perspired over? Mm.
So what is your challenge?
My challenge is the perspiration aspect of the game. If you look up the rules, the perspiration aspect, which doesn't often crop up because very few people bring up sweat on the programme.
No.
It's called 72C.
Yes.
No, I disagree on this occasion, Peter, with your challenge, because I think he was keeping going without deviating. And Clement continues with 2 seconds on Spanish dancing, starting now.
Dorita...
Clement Freud got the extra point, speaking as the whistle went. He's now one ahead of Peter Cook. Barry Took and Kenneth Williams are trailing somewhat, and Clement Freud is going to begin the next round. Clement, the subject is Lindbergh's solo Atlantic flight. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Lindbergh's solo Atlantic flight was from America to the European continent, and he underwent or took this flight on his own. Hence, it was called Lindbergh's solo Atlantic flight. It took...
Barry...
He
took.
Couldn't have done it on his own. He must have had an aeroplane.
A very good challenge, Barry. So he's took it, and he took the challenge, and he's got a point for that. And you have 42 seconds, Barry, on Lindbergh's solo Atlantic flight, starting now.
Lindbergh was better known as Lindy, and they invented a dance that they called after the man, and they called it the Lindy Hop. And it was the rage all over Europe. And when he landed at Le Bourget, which was the airport in France, where they interpreted...
Peter Cook has challenged.
Oh, we had a lot of erring round the air. Oh.
He certainly erred there, didn't he? Peter, you have 36 seconds on Lindbergh's solo Atlantic flight, starting now.
What was it, Van Vanders, that decided Lindbergh to cross the Atlantic on his own in a primitive aeroplane? Was it perhaps some deep psychological rootings in his past which caused this desire to traverse a whole ocean only to reach England? And for what purpose would a man wish to reach England?
Clement Freud is challenged.
Repetition of England, and he didn't.
No, he didn't reach England, I'm afraid.
So the doctor was quite right.
But you did repeat England, so Clement Freud has the subject with 4 seconds to go, starting now.
and the people of France massed and gathered, ran towards...
Kenneth, Clement Freud has increased his lead at the end of that round. Kenneth Williams is going to begin the next round, and the subject is George Nathaniel Curzon. Will you tell us something about him in the game starting now?
One of the most outstanding figures of the 19th century. He became Undersecretary for India at a very early age, and at only 39, Viceroy of that enormous terrain, and succeeded in petitioning Punjab and creating the Northwest Province. Now, the interesting thing about this man was he had spinal curvature, and this would, in another person perhaps, have been a tremendous obstacle. He didn't allow that, and had a great belief and confident attitude, you see, because he,
Peter Cook.
Well, as soon as the curvature began, a lot of started
rumbling
about.
Yes,
yes,
he began to double up himself,
didn't he?
Began to
double up with his curvature, yes.
Peter Cook, a good challenge, and there are 24 seconds for you to take over George Nathaniel Curzon as a subject starting now.
24 seconds is scarcely adequate to describe a man whose own mother once said, "I don't know, he seems so peculiar these days." What with his wishing to go to India and run about that part of the world where there's so many people who are feeling ill and haven't got enough to eat, it makes me wonder what on earth Dad and I did wrong.
Well, the great thing about this game is even if his mother didn't say that, you can say it and you can believe at the end that she did say it. And, Peter, you kept going. You got the extra point as the whistle went and you're back in the lead alongside Clement Freud. Well done. Our guest is doing extraordinarily well. And, Peter Cook, you're going to begin the next round. It is boredom, something that never happens when you're talking, but can you talk on the subject in just a minute, starting now?
As far as I'm concerned, I'm unable to understand why anybody in the world suffers from the problem known as boredom. When you look around the countryside, you see the leaves on the trees and the insects dancing away in the air as they fly. The full, bewildering span of nature is before you, and for anyone to suffer from boredom under those circumstances surprises me immensely.
Barry Took has challenged.
Repetition, deviation, hesitation, all rolled into one delicious bundle.
And as you were fast asleep with boredom, obviously you're the finest one to challenge on that. So we give it to you out of kindness and say you have 23 seconds on boredom starting now.
Well, I've never suffered from boredom myself, being often in the company of such brilliant people as those gathered here today. I speak, of course, not of my immediate...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, Clement, there are 18 seconds. There are 13 seconds on boredom starting now.
Boredom, I think, is predominantly induced by people who like to talk about themselves and leave no facet of their character unturned. They show you pictures of their wives and children, their aunts and uncles.
And Clement Freud kept going till the whistle, gained the extra point, and he is now one ahead of Peter Cook, and they're both way out in the lead ahead of Barry Took and Kenneth Williams. Barry, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is smash and grab.
The first thing that happens with a smash and grab raid is that a man in a mask, or possibly a balaclava helmet turned round the wrong way, walks up to a jeweller's window, throws back his arm, arches black...
Peter Cook has challenged.
You can't throw back your arm. It's impossible.
You can't
throw your arm anywhere.
Unless you cut it off first, and very few people do that.
You can throw your voice.
Well, you can't throw
back... That's no good if you're doing a smash and grab.
I'm saying you can't throw back your voice and hurl a brick through a window.
Well, I can't.
Hands up all those who can. I'm sorry, Mr.
Chairman.
No, that's
all right. No, actually, Barry, I take his point. Colloquially speaking, we do say, you know, he threw his arm back and whipped the ball down.
Oh, because it wasn't
like
big enough, you know. Yeah. I threw it back, wasn't big enough, yeah.
So, Barry, you keep the subject, smash and grab, and there are 45 seconds left, starting now.
Well, sometimes you can throw your head back, but this not often happens in a smash-and-grab raid because the intention is to steal things, mainly items of jewellery, such as gold watches of a certain value, rings, other artefacts that women like to wear around their necks, tiaras, which are worn on the head, so that when they heave back their golden tresses and the lights twinkle...
He's thrown his arms back, he's thrown his head back, and now he's thrown something else back. That's... Three backs, back to back.
Very repetitious. Peter, you have a good challenge and the subject in 23 seconds on smash and grab, starting now.
Well, personally, if you're going to do a smash and grab raid, the necessities are a lot of other people and a bit of courage. You size up the target and then you snoop around for days and days watching the movement.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Repetition of days.
Days and days. Yes. Yes.
Days and days. So Clement has got another point and 9 seconds on smash and grab, Clement, starting now.
To be a successful smash and grab operator, it is homework which counts.
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation. I don't think an MP has got any right to broadcast up about to be a efficient smash and grab man. Absolutely disgraceful. Very devious. Yeah, devious.
On the basis that it's devious for an MP to put forward those sort of opinions.
Yeah.
I'm glad you
picked that point up, Mr. Chairman. Yeah. Very glad. I'm glad we've got an astute chairman here.
And the fact that you haven't got very many points, I'm going to be generous.
Thank you very much.
You have 3 seconds on smash and grab, starting now.
Well, it's a disgraceful business, and moreover, the law in this country should come down hard.
So, Kenneth Williams, much to the audience's pleasure, was speaking as the whistle went, so he got that extra point, and he is still in fourth place.
Really relishes it, doesn't he?
You did win a few weeks ago when Barry Took and Peter Cook were here, and this occasion, we've only probably got time for about one more round, I don't know, so I don't think there's much chance of you winning, Kenneth, but keep up the good work. And it's Clement Freud's turn to begin. He's in the lead, by the way, one ahead of Peter Cook, and the subject is a goodbye. Will you talk on that subject, Clement, starting now?
I'm not at all sure whether a Member of Parliament, bearing in mind the edicts of the Secretary of State for Prices and Consumer Protection, should come onto a programme and talk about a goodbye, because if he got it wrong, and the purchase which the prospective purchaser was about to make turned out...
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation, there's no such word. It's purchaser, not purchasor.
Kenneth, you are raring to go. I can see that. You have 40 seconds in which to do it. The subject is a goodbye, starting now.
It's when you get something practically for nothing and you say, oh, that's lovely, knock-down price, and you immediately know that another day you'd have to pay 3 or 4 times as much. So, of course, you think, how wonderful, this is a goodbye, you see.
And Clement Freud challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, I'm afraid there was. And there are 24 seconds, Clement. A goodbye starting now.
Butter at...
Barry Took has challenged.
Butter? Butter what? I mean... I'm slow to catch on, Mr. Chairman, but at least even I got that one.
Yes. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, because it's going to be the last subject, and there are only 23 seconds left, and we want to hear from you again, Barry, so I'm going to say that marvellous challenge of yours deserves a point, and you take over the subject of a goodbye, starting now.
A goodbye should always start with a kiss and work its way down from there. Whether you kiss your loved one on the top of her head and then move slowly down over her brow to her eyebrows... And...
Peter Cook has challenged.
I don't like where his hand is. If that's not deviation, I don't know what it is. I did not... I did not agree to do this programme knowing that gesture and mime and that sort of thing would be going on next to me.
Well, while he probably wasn't deviating in the radio sense, I think your challenge was so good, and as we only again have 9 seconds in which to finish, you take over the subject now with the 9 seconds I said before, the subject, a goodbye, starting now.
A goodbye can be such a sad occasion, and yet on others it can be a time of joy.
Barry Took.
I didn't think I would work on a programme with such an appalling actor. I mean, these commonplace characterizations aren't good enough. Look at the ones we get from the other side. I mean, Clement Freud is brilliant.
No, I think the performance was really quite up to the standard of what we have on Just a Minute. So I disagree with your challenge, Barry, and Peter Cook keeps the subject, and he has 3 seconds to continue on. A goodbye, starting now.
I remember when my lady wife, whose name for the moment escapes me...
An apt goodbye, and so we have reached the end of this round, the end of the show, and now I must give you the final score. Kenneth Williams, who won last time we had these two particular guests with us, the Cook and the Took, came fourth place, a little way behind Barry Took, and he was way behind Clement Freud, but with that last flourish from Peter Cook, took him into the lead, 1 point ahead, and it's this week's winner, Peter Cook. From all of us here, goodbye.
Chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.